Minnesota's official weather station is News Radio 830 WCCO.
11 minutes after 11 o'clock. John Hines broadcasting from the fair on this Labor Day. And an issue that has been brought to the fair, and one that some folks would like you to know about, the folks behind Howling for Wolves. The principal person there is Dr. Maureen Hackett, and she has made this a cause for quite some time, and it's something that is very, very important to her. And now, of course, we learned that the DNR has added, I think we heard this in July, 500 additional licenses for the 2014 wolf hunt season. And Dr. Hackett joins me this morning on WCCO Radio to talk a little bit about the concerns and the problem with this hunt. Dr. Hackett, thank you for your time. And I, of course, I'm very familiar with Howling for Wolves. I had the chance to be out front and provide the voice for some of your announcements in the first campaign.
Yes.
And I thought sure that was going to happen. And not only did it not happen, but the pushback has been even greater.
Yes, which is exactly what we worried about. You see, wolves were exterminated. And so if you make a legal kill, you give people a confused message, and it seems to have ramped up some hate towards wolves or misunderstanding towards wolves. So now the blowback seems to be kill more.
Well, let's talk about this, the idea of hunting wolves, because wasn't there a concerted effort for a long, long time to bring back the population of wolves that had been almost completely decimated, wiped out?
Minnesota has the last original population of wolves in the whole lower 48. We had just a
few. Now, when you say original population,
it never went extinct in Minnesota.
Okay. But so, did it get close to those numbers?
Yes, a couple hundred. We don't even know, but maybe a couple hundred in the early 70s. And there was a struggle to even put them on the endangered species list. They were the first mammal put on the endangered species list in 1974.
And I don't know of too many situations where an animal goes from delisted to hunted in almost the same breath.
Well, certainly not a mammal. I mean, certainly not an animal as complex and social as a wolf. There might have been, I believe somebody mentioned that there was an alligator. You know, and something like that, but certainly not an animal as complex and as at risk as the wolf is, really. I mean, the wolf used to roam the entire North America continent, but we don't expect all of that habitat to be habitated by wolves. But where they can live, we say, why are we hunting and disrupting their packs?
And, you know, here's the thing. I'm not a hunter, but I know many who are, and I know many who are deer hunters and they're also great conservationists, great stewards of the resources. But it doesn't seem to be. I'm curious about people that I know who deer hunt. Here's what I'm getting at: they do it for the venison. They do it for something on the other side of this. But it doesn't work that way with wolf population.
Well, in fact, people who hunt for venison really like wolves, most of them, because the wolf provides for that wild habitat. The wolf keeps vegetation growing despite all the deer we have. The wolf provides for habitat right down to the bugs that are eaten by fish. And so real hunters really understand that we don't need to kill the apex predator, the point of the pyramid of that entire ecosystem. So most of the hunters we talk to are really opposed to the wolf hunt. They see the wolf as an ally in keeping our wilderness, the wilderness they like to hunt in.
How many wolves were taken in the first wolf hunt?
437.
And how many licenses were let for that? Do you recall?
Oh, about 6,000, I believe.
Now that number is being increased by 500 more?
No, they actually cut the number of licenses by half the following year.
Oh, I see.
But the population dropped by 25% after the first season, and it's never come back.
Well, here's the thing about this. You were explaining to me that unlike so many other mammals, a wolf mates for life.
For life.
So if you disrupt that, whether it's a male or a female that's taken, then you've broken that whole chain.
You break their hearts, too. You know, they actually have emotional connections to each other. That is definitely seen. And you break the pack up. You put the pack at risk. And there are many members of the pack that have a role that is taken away. Also, it takes almost 3 years before a wolf can reproduce. 3 years. It takes a long time for this wolf pair to raise pups, and only half of them survive 6 months.
Well, tell me about the complaints then when we hear from farmers and others who are saying, you know, it is that wolf population that is it's going after my livestock. Or it is some hunters who may say it's having an effect on the deer population because the wolf population has become so large.
Well, I think that's misunderstanding. The wolf population was at its largest when the deer population was at its largest in the early 2000s. For farmers, we have never opposed their right to protect their property. But farmers need non-lethal methods supported by the state of Minnesota and the Department of Agriculture, and they're not getting it. All they get are reactive, after the fact, we'll kill the wolves and we'll reimburse you. So we never put into place our wolf management plan that was signed in 2001 that called for non-lethal methods, increased education of the public, more actual understanding of all the risks to the wolf, including poaching.
I'm hearing more and more concerns, and I know this is not so much obviously where we live here, but concerns of those who are dog owners that dogs have been caught in some of these leg traps that have been set and left for wolves, because people will be out in the woods with their dogs, whether they're hunting grouse or whatever they might be doing, that these traps are also a threat to their pets.
Yes, increased trapping overall because of the wolf hunt is increasing dogs being caught in traps, and especially those box set traps, the conibear traps. Those are actually killing dogs. And the actual number of dogs that are killed in traps set for all kinds of animals, is not tracked by the DNR. But Dog Lovers for Safe Trapping estimates that in just two seasons, over 50 dogs were killed.
Where do we go with this? With the idea, I mean, because if somebody shares your view and wants to halt this this hunt, where do they go with that idea to the legislature? I thought it was there, it's in place, it's done. Is that the end of it?
The legislature needs to understand and hear from people who advocate for wolves, because the majority of Minnesotans, 79% in a poll we did, value the wolf as an asset to the state. We know it's a great tourism draw. We know the wolf is valued by the vast majority of Minnesotans. But the people who value the wolf must work very hard to let their legislators know, because every day a lobbyist is walking into their office representing a very powerful special interest group that essentially would like to wipe the wolves out. And so people who advocate for wolves have to understand what we're up against.
But what would be the purpose of eliminating the population? I mean, they want to hunt them till they're gone? Is this what you're trying to say?
Well, you know, I'm not going to make any accusations, but today is the 100th year since the last passenger pigeon was killed. And we thought that they were the most, that was the biggest amount of birds population, that one species that we ever had. So I'm not going to call it out, but most states don't have wolves. And I think the agricultural industry in those states is quite happy about that. But they don't understand what they've lost.
But see, I think there's this image, though, of the fact that the wolf, unlike, you know, other animals, like hunts in packs, you know, like they're very intelligent, and so they know what they're doing in a case like this.
Yes, all of our dogs come from the wolf. The wolf has in its own, it passes on knowledge to its young and to its pack. It has leadership. They have a whole social structure. So, you know, it's very sad, and it's also valued by our Native American cultures as a sacred animal. So the wolf is different. It's not just another game species. And when you disrupt those packs, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we know that there are already a possibility that, you know, we could end up getting a disease and the wolves could be wiped out.
You know, I'm looking at this too, though, from another standpoint. You know, originally the 6,000 licenses that were let, and then that number was reduced by half. Is that what?
Yes.
Is that part of management? Is that what they're trying? Are they trying to manage the hunt?
The problem is that the hunt was reduced from the first to the second season, but the wolf management plan was not put in place, and everything in that plan was skipped. In fact, a recreational hunt was not even part of the plan. It was only if the population was considered in need of being reduced and not without sound biological information. But we didn't even do a baseline survey before the first hunt. We didn't even do a survey after 5 years of not surveying the wolf, and we had a hunt. And we did drop the population down, and I can't imagine. If you drop it by 25%, one out of four wolves in the first year, and they had another hunt, and they said, okay, now it's stable for 1 year, meaning it dropped by 25% and stayed down. obviously they're trying to cut back the wolf population, and most people here probably want to hear a wolf in the wild. We know that people value wolves, but they have to go to howlingforwolves.org, sign our letter, they have to make their legislator a wolf advocate, and they have to let the governor and the DNR know, you know what, this is one animal we want to keep. We want to call, only in Minnesota do we have a wild wolf population that we tolerate, that we can live with, and of course, we do not argue with the rights of landowners to protect their property. That right. has never been one of our stances.
You've made that clear from the very beginning. Dr. Maureen Hackett, howlingforwolves.org, and I know that you're not going to give up on this. This is going to continue to be a very special thing.
I think it's important for tolerance in general in our society to be able to tolerate an entire species existing in the wild. It's special. And it's what makes hunting in northern Minnesota special and fishing in northern Minnesota special. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate it. Dr. Maureen Hackett here on WCCO Radio, something in which she truly believes. You want to know more? It's quite simple. Go to howlingforwolves.org. It is 22 minutes after 11 o'clock. News Radio 830 WCCO.
Broadcasting live from our Land O'Lakes State Fair studio, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.